I am Thomas Law, the Executive Director of TSIA. Welcome to Tectonic, the podcast where we explore what makes technology business models successful in today's world. On this podcast, we spend a lot of time discussing how tech service models are changing. However, it is not just support services or customer success organizations that are facing an existential crisis. Today, I will be joined by a thought leader in marketing that just published a really interesting, provocative AI manifesto for marketing leaders. Kathy Mackey is the CTO at Invertive Marketing, and she has been with us before. And today, she is here to speak to the future of marketing. So let's get the insight engine humming here. Kathy, welcome back to Tectonic. It's nice, as always, to see you. We were just swapping stories from days gone by when you were in Columbus, Ohio, and we were doing executive education sessions together at Ohio State.
Right.
So we've known each other for quite a while, and it is amazing how much this industry has changed since then. And marketing has changed and continues to change. And the reason I wanted to bring you on is that you shared with me this really provocative AI manifesto for marketing leaders. And there's no doubt that AI is eating through a lot of marketing activities, and you can, you know, give it your brand history and customer data and say, hey, come up with positioning information for me and all this kind of wonderful stuff. And so I think it really does beg this question of, you know, what does that mean to marketing to be in marketing in today's world with all this AI capability? And I know that's what you're chipping on in this manifesto. So just kind of out of the gate at a high level, what does it mean to be in marketing today?
Well, I think it's scary for a lot of folks. In fact, it's really interesting. I sent out a draft to a couple CMOs I work with, Thomas, and two of them reply back is, when can I retire? Just like, I'm done. But I'd have to say, getting ready for this podcast, I started listening to a couple other things. You know, this is not just marketing. In fact, one CMO wrote back to me and said, yes, while this is true for marketing, I think sales is being disrupted far more right now than marketing.
I think
you could step back and apply it to anything. But particularly right now, I think where, you know, we've talked about AI could do, I think even Sam Altman said like 2 years ago, 99% of marketing AI will be able to do. Mm-hmm. And it assumes that marketing is production only. And I think that's definitely comes up in B2B, you know, tech, where people have come up from product or sales, and they just think of marketing as the arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more to it to that. Like if you're just content or paid media, that's operational, but it's more around the narrative strategy, your market definition, your account selection, your revenue strategy, you know, your competitive positioning. But if you could just turn into an outsourced service desk, and if that's the case, AI is going to replace you completely. And so you have to think about, where does marketing add value? And it made me think of, Thomas, when we started first working together, I think Jeffrey Moore's book had just come out maybe a while back. Around that time, we talked about core versus context.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great
And
framework.
It made me think about that. Like in marketing, if you look at the four box, you know, what's strategic about marketing? It's going to be your narrative, what accounts, you know, you have to make a decision about your revenue strategy, your pricing, your packaging. And I also think there's core things about how you run your technology or your marketing processes, your workflows. Think of two companies with the same tech stack. They don't operate the same because there's intelligence, there's strategic work in there that differentiates you. And then the stuff on the other side, you might need expertise, but it could be outsourced, or it's just really outsourced work that anyone could do. SEO, blog, content, paid media, trafficking, all that type of stuff. So I think you have to decide where you want to play. How do you protect your strategic and how do you optimize what's not?
Yeah. I'm going to click into that framing on core versus context, because that is the first time I think anybody's put that on the table here in the podcast. And that's really helpful framing in terms of what AI is doing to professionals and to organizations, because things that we used to think, hey, that's really important, that's core for me to do that activity, AI has now made that context. I mean, I see that with our researchers, things where they thought, hey, this is where I add a lot of value. It's like, actually, AI can do that analysis or that initial cut or whatever for you. But then, you know, you go the next step beyond that. And that's where now the new core becomes. And in your manifesto, you talk about the fact that it's not about the risk of job loss. You know, hey, maybe just marketing goes away. The risk is that marketing, you know, basically is no longer strategic, that people just view it as this set of tactical things that AI models can do anyway. right? So what's the fastest way you think a marketing organization becomes irrelevant in this new world?
Well, I think you have to deliberately decide what is core to you, like what's your strategic value versus what is contact, and really protect that. If you're just managing agencies, overseeing AI tools, reporting, you know, just optimizing campaigns, like AI can create that content. You know, your vendors can do your paid media. Your rev tech team can build your dashboards. Your agents can do the lead routing. You've got to find out where the strategy lies, because if you don't figure out your strategic value, product's going to take over positioning. Sales is going to take over the whole account strategy. Finance is going to decide your budget allocation. I mean, you're just going to become a service organization. And I think you've got to intentionally think about where you add value. And it's interesting you brought up even with your researchers, like, you know, that movie Go with the, when AI beat the best Go player in the world, it was that Move 37. I think we're all going to have our Move 37. Like, I've done something with AI and it did this campaign. I thought, God, that's what I used to do, you know, and it can do it better than you. And so where do you add your value in coming up quickly with, how do you think about your org then? How do you think about what your team does? And then what do you bring to the table? You know?
Boy, you're just a plethora of new framing here, which I love this morning. So the core versus I guess you're a marketing person now. The core versus context, I think, again, is super helpful for people to realize how that bar is moving and to understand that and embrace it. But this Move 37, I never thought about that. But I mean, that is another great sort of mental model for people, because I see it personally in the people that I work with. And again, I'll just, you know, go back to our researchers. We've been on a journey for 2 years on this. And what I'm observing, Kathy, is professionals are having that Move 37 moment at different points in time, right? Mm-hmm. You might have two people doing the same job and one person has that moment like today, and weeks or months go by before the person right next to them has that moment. But once they have that moment, you can just see that, you know, the wheels spin differently, and they are just thinking about AI very differently after they have that Move 37, like the one you described. I'm sure after that moment, you were like, I have to think about AI differently as a professional now.
Yeah. And it's a scary moment. It really is.
It is. There's just no doubt about it. Now, again, I keep encouraging on this podcast for people to keep leaning into this and stay ahead of this, because in many ways, you just have no choice. And so, if we go back to marketing organizations, what decisions do you think they're making right now that set up this fork in the road from them being, you know, something that just becomes, you know, sort of outsourced or just managing, you know, the, you know, very non-strategic, tactical, a lot of stuff being done by AI versus continue to be viewed as a very strategic capability within the company? Like, how should CMOs be thinking about this right now?
That's a good question. And I almost think of it as, you have to start taking risks that maybe you haven't taken before. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be accountable for stuff. And so how do you start digging into where do you really add value? And to me, it's what bets are you going to make on? What are the accounts we're going to focus on? Mm-hmm. What is the category we're going to end? How do I want to really shift budget? You know, how am I deprioritizing segments? How do I actually shape this strategy? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really hard for folks. Like, if you're used to just executing marketing, that's not good enough anymore. Like, you have to really start thinking about your buying groups, your revenue design, what are your expansion plays? How does humans and AI work together? Where does judgment lie? And let me dig into the judgment, because I'm sort of going around in circles here. This came up the other day for us. So one thing I talk about in the manifesto is, I think everyone's given their team AI, and here are the tools, here's the training, and no one's seen any impact. And I think because everyone's just been busier. Like, I know I get more done, Thomas, but I'm still working the same amount of hours, if not more.
Right. Yeah.
So it's because you haven't really thought about, and we go back this far, Thomas. Remember when supply chain came out and ERP systems? We all got in a room with whiteboards and we did business process outsourcing. And it was like, how do I rethink my supply chain now that I have these tools? And I think CMOs need to step into that room with their team and say, this is how we used to do things. How do we have to rethink it now? Mm-hmm. What is our new workflows? And then where do you plug AI in? And I had a surprise moment the other day. So we've done a lot with workflows. We've built tons of agents on our own. And also I'm looking at one, and I think our person did a great job on it, but we built a persona one. And I was like, well, I may not agree with the logic you've built into it, you know? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you are encoding judgment. And if one person built that tool and everyone's using it now, Thomas, mm-hmm. it's based on their point of view.
Yeah.
It may not be your point of view, but that just gets carried on. And now, and that you have just encoded judgment into a whole workflow that the rest of the company is going to be using now. And you don't even know it. And if that person leaves, do you have a process for going back and saying, how are we evaluating that? Is that the right mm-hmm. places we want a human? Is that the right data we want going in to make that decision? So I don't know. I think CMOs have to just step back and really think about so many different things, like the workflows, where does judgment live? How do you have that value compound as putting the right stuff in those tools? So when those agents work, you know where you want a human in the loop. And I think,
you know, as I listen to you, it's interesting because I'm just hearing more and more similarities between, again, this journey we've been on with research at TSIA. Now, I'll put two things on the table. So one is you're saying, look, if you're CMO, you've got to put basically all the parts on the table and say, how do things change in the world of AI? How do we do things differently with our workflows? How do we maximize our leverage from capabilities that didn't exist 3 years ago? I think that's job one. We've been doing that at research. I mean, our workflows look incredibly different because of new capabilities, which means our researchers are way more productive. We generated more content this past year, and I think good content, than we ever did in the history of the company. Could not have done that without redoing the workflow. So,
yeah. So
I buy into that. That's job number one. And again, so like we were saying, realizing the stuff that, hey, it used to be important. That's not just, you know, really context. We're not going to worry about that, et cetera. But the second thing, Kathy, as I listen to you, and it's so true for our researchers now, there's now a premium on creation, on thinking. And that's one of the mm-hmm. paradoxes of AI. It's like, oh, well, AI can just come up with all these thoughts and solve all these problems. It does a really good job on framing. It does a really good job of analysis. Tell me this trend, tell me whatever. But pure creation, that is where I see our researchers shining now, saying, like, I have the ability to think about frameworks or think about futures or think about in ways that I never did before. And that's content that AI cannot create. That's content that the marketplace values that is net new. And applies to marketing. You think about, you were saying it, like the value of stepping back and saying, well, what is our category? You know, what is our most strategic positioning? What is, like, those are the big hard thoughts that marketing may or may not been good at in the past, but again, because been said, hey, I'm so busy here on just like getting out materials on the current category or just sticking the landing on existing positioning or blah, 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 blah. I don't have to do that super hard white piece of paper kind of, you know.
Right.
And that's where there's going to be value. If marketing can put that on the table, and again, you leverage tools to do that thought leadership so much better than you ever could, there's a huge opportunity there.
Yeah. You know, when I look at it, I step back, you know, AI mm-hmm. can lower the cost of producing marketing materials, like you just learned. All right, we can put mm-hmm. out great content. But I also think it raises the cost of standing out. When that mm-hmm. supply of content, everyone's putting out so much content, mm-hmm. attention is scarce.
Yep.
And so that's what's going to differentiate you.
Yeah.
Like, what are you putting out that's going to make someone go through that sea of materials out there right now?
This issue, I mean, well, you know, the concept of AI slop, right? I mean, the volume of content coming out from everybody, a hardware company, a software company, a consulting, you know, firm, a thought leader on something, it is overwhelming. And you're right. What I think already is people are starting to look for the quality from the quantity. They're starting mm-hmm. to get much more discerning about, okay, is this just like a 2,000 word, you know, essay on blah, 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 or is this really great insight, tight, great insight? And again, a good marketing department is going to be able to separate that. A weak marketing department is not.
No.
They're not going to be able to do that. And so I think, you know, that's amazing. The economics of enterprise tech are breaking. AI startups are threatening the domain of long-established enterprise technology providers. Yet, it is unclear exactly how technology providers will drive profitable revenue in the AI era. TSIA has always been focused on what it takes to have a profitable business model in enterprise tech. AI Economics is a body of actionable TSIA research that is digging into the future of tech business models. How will AI solutions be priced? What does the next generation tech services portfolio look like? And why does TSIA believe that it is not the end of tech services, but the era of services. Go to tsi.com/AI economics to learn the answers. I have a question again as I listen to you, and you're talking to CMOs, and the CMOs are saying, hey, sales is going to get disrupted. Everybody's looking at the other, you know, oh man, services are going to get massively disrupted. Give me a sense of percentage. If you think about working with these marketing organizations, what percentage of them do you feel are leaning into this, understand this is pretty big change, are doing the type of things you're talking about, right? Really putting all the pieces on the table, really thinking about how they remain strategic. Just your gut, what in terms of the people you're dealing with.
Now, so I think this is across all the board and all departments. I think every CMO knows it. Mm-hmm. I think everyone is, it's really hard to do change when you don't have enough resources to keep up.
Yeah.
So I think that's been the biggest thing. Like, I've got a CMO friend now, she has her whole MLT in this week, and I know they're going to spend a half day doing AI stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But how does that go back to your day-to-day? Because mm-hmm. I've seen it with my own team. Like, I'd love to do this with AI, but I'm delivering to clients. I'm doing this. Yeah. I'm doing this. Like, and that's where I think you have to step back on those workflows, and you've got to reinforce it somehow. Otherwise, it's too easy to go back to how things were. You just don't have the mental capacity. Well, I told you, like, I'm using AI, but I'm working just as many hours. In fact,
yeah.
One of my consultants I was talking to, he said, you know, with AI, I can run three things concurrently. He goes, so I got what used to take me 3 hours an hour. He goes, but it was like 3 hours worth of brain power, though.
Yeah.
The cognitive tax, I think, is going to be, that's demanding. It's really demanding.
Yeah.
That.
Well, let me pause on that one, because literally there's a study that came out last week, and I wish, because it was referenced on one of the other podcasts I listened to, and they were saying that the study basically showed they went into a firm looking at the professionals that are doing the same type of jobs, using AI, not using AI, et cetera. And so there's two things they found. Number one, all the professionals in that company that were leveraging AI, no doubt, beyond a doubt, were more productive in that role. Like, there was just no doubt about it. So that's, you know, positive there. But get this, the professionals that were using AI were working longer hours, which is what you just said.
Yes.
And why? Because they're learning the tools, and they're like, oh my God, I can spin up three things. I can do this. And so right now, there is this paradox that's facing professionals where it's like, AI is, you know, the promise is it's going to make my life easy and I could just go, you know, at longer coffee breaks. No, if you're serious about leveraging AI right now, you got to expect you're going to actually be working harder. Now, you are going to be 2, 3, 4 times more productive because of that. And by the way, you're going to be way more relevant in the marketplace, but it's not like it just took a bunch of stuff off your plate and now you got all that time back. So I think every professional is facing that reality. The other thing that you put on the table there, and this has been going on since we were working on as a service transformation, and companies were like, got the old on-prem model and I'm trying to stand up the new model, but all my time goes on the old model and I don't have cycles for the new model. Yep. In terms of the, you know, the classic analogy of, oh my gosh, we got to, you know, change, you know, the engine of the plane while it's in the air. That is exactly what's going on here right now with AI on the table. I'm hearing more and more, like you're saying, you're a CMO and you're a marketing individual professional, and you're like, I just can't do both. I don't have enough time. And there's more talk about companies carving out time for employees deliberately, like saying, hey, Friday is your AI explore day or whatever, right? And go learn tools or go do this. There's talk of that. I'm going to just be a pragmatist here. I think, Kathy, that's not how this change happens. I think that in the short term, how that change happens is people basically juggle both balls. They, quote, burn the candle at both ends of the stick, because no CEO is going to say, yeah, stop doing that over there and just go work on this. Nobody's going to do that.
No.
So, you know, again, if you're a CMO and you're sitting there, God, I don't have time, you're going to have to freaking make time for you and your team to say, like, we have, this is non-negotiable. And so I think that that is just the brutal reality of the moment in time that we're in. Because again, what your manifesto talks about is the alternative is you become pretty tactical and pretty irrelevant as a function and or a professional. That's the table stakes right now.
It is. B2B tech, definitely, but I think it's going to be across the board in all marketing. No CEO. Sure. Yeah. You know, CEOs don't come up from marketing. So they don't really understand the value, and that's going to be the first thing they outsource. It's like, if someone can write content, why am I paying a person? But that's where I get into, what's that saying? I think it's, people don't want a quarter-inch drill. They want a quarter-inch hole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, marketing should be bringing that. No one wants your platform. No one wants your software. Thomas, you know, I'm trying to reduce risk. I'm faster onboarding. I want more, you know, revenue per rep. So slowly you will erode your brand. It'll be, you're talking about your product, you're talking about you, and you forgot about the customer. And that's the part marketing brings. And I don't think it's valued enough until it's gone.
Well, I mean, you're on a good thread there, which we have talked a lot about in this podcast, which is, I think the one thing, Kathy, that AI does, and I know with a lot of tech companies, and they're in, like you say, they all have solutions, right? And their solutions historically have been about the drill bit, right? Like, hey, look how big this hole is, right? Or look how great our drill bit is to drill this hole. But I think the one thing AI does is it is moving the whole conversation with customers. Customers don't care, like, again, you have a cool marketing solution here, you have a cool this, whatever. What they want are outcomes. And they're like, tell me how your company, your solution, delivers more revenue, more leads per rep, lower churn rate, whatever. And I'm watching technology providers really struggle with the reality, because these AI startups that are bringing the new wave of technology to the table, that's their language. When they build an AI app, like say for support services, like, I am all about, you know, faster close rate on tickets or reduced staff or whatever. That's what I'm going after. I'm not here to tell you about how great my model is or how great my agents are or how fast my agents run or blah, blah, blah. They're going after an end game. And I think this means marketing departments, and you know, are so good at slinging feature functionality in their marketing literature. And, they have to actually truly say, how do I tell the value story and defend it? That's where the bar is going to go for them.
That is the only value marketing is going to be bringing that way. It's like, how do you frame the problem? How do you shape buyer perception? You know,
I don't think it's the strength of a lot of tech marketing departments, honestly, to date. And so that is definitely, you know, a new muscle they're going to have to build. You know, the other thing, I didn't want to forget about this. The other thing in your manifesto, you talk about the fact that sort of organizational structure and lines are going to blur. That this concept of who does what, you know, between a sales does this and a marketing does that. And we all have our stovepipes and we all have our kingdoms, et cetera. That you think AI starts to blur that? What are you seeing there?
Reorgs are hard. So I've tried to think through, I really got this another CMO when we were talking about this. You know, roles in marketing, but I think in probably every department, have been built around repeatable tasks. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a content person, I'm a media person, and there's tasks that you do. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of his name. He talked about jagged intelligence. AI is going to take over 40 to 60% of those tasks, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what you have to start thinking about is outcomes. So you've talked about outcomes with our products. So if I look at marketing, I think you have 5 different outcomes you go for. And I remember trying this at a company a long time ago, and I think they just weren't ready for it. But I think we have no option now. Like, one group of marketers has to be around, how do you build market presence and awareness? Like, how do you make yourself visible? What is the problem you're framing up? One is around engagement, preference, evaluation. Like, how do you look at all the signals coming in and progress someone through the buying cycle? Mm-hmm. How do you do pipeline creation? How does marketing say this is ready for a sales conversation? Pipeline acceleration, you know, how are you building confidence, velocity, get the deal closed? And how do you do expansion and advocacy? So how do you drive adoption, value creation? And we've always had functional silos because marketing has just a wide range of skills in it. You know, anyone from doing media to creative to ops. Yeah. And so we've had functional silos. And this is saying, no, how do I organize around outcomes? Mm-hmm. And I think at each pod, you can have someone who really knows the market, your ICP, intelligence, like all that type of stuff. Like, who are we focused on? What are the segments? Who are we prioritizing? Someone has to know narrative and positioning, you know, messaging, our point of view. Someone does revenue orchestration. So mm-hmm. how does marketing, SDRs, CS all work together? Those handoffs, who are the buying groups? What's our life cycle? Someone does AI and workflow. So how are all those handoffs? How do you collaborate? Where does AI sit? And who does capital allocation? Like, where are we placing our bets? And so one is sort of how do you organize around outcomes and then what are the capabilities we need in each one of those outcomes? I don't think it's easy to do overnight, but you have to rethink it because right now those roles don't fit anymore. AI is taking over 46% of them.
Yeah, I mean, I believe deeply, I mean, it is really kind of interesting comparing notes in terms of what we see in the world of services and how you're seeing things unfold in the world of marketing. And one of the threads is around organizational structure for sure. And just like marketing has its stovepipes, services has its stovepipes all over the place, right? Between different service lines and functions within services. And we believe deeply that there's going to be a lot of convergence here. You mentioned the pod structure. I think that's a concept to start getting your head around out there to say, look, it's really about different people that have different skills or capabilities brought together in a much more seamless way, right? To say we're operating around, like you said, an outcome. That outcome could be customer renewal. That outcome could be getting a certain value proposition landed with the customer. It could be around, hey, we're a pod around expanding, whatever. But it's not going to be like, oh, well, marketing does this, sales does that, the service person does this, blah, blah, blah. All these, we call the fire brigade, you know, the handoff, the bucket brigade. It's like that model fundamentally does not make sense in an AI world. It just doesn't. You can already see that it doesn't. And it's really teams organized around, you know, tools that they never had before. And so I think that's good coaching, again, for CMOs is you put all those parts on the table and you'll start to look at them and say, hey, some of this stuff, we cannot be married to the traditional organizational structure to get things done moving forward. And so again, the pattern recognition here is amazing. Every Tectonic listener is well aware, I am a big believer that AI is a game changer for how professionals in the technology industry will do their jobs. TSI Research is not immune to that reality. I am proud to say that we have been aggressively experimenting on how AI can change the way we create research and deliver those research insights to our members. And now we are ready to release TSIA Intelligence, the first Gen AI model designed exclusively for technology services. Unlike generic Gen AI tools, TSIA Intelligence taps into our real-world, industry-validated data that is not in the public domain. We have designed this model to give you clear, actionable, and board-ready insights. Right now, in technology services, the stakes are really high. Every decision counts. Good decisions can build your career. Bad ones can end it. General LLMs are incredibly powerful, but you need specialized insights built on industry data that you can trust. That is TSI Intelligence. To check it out, visit tsi.com/intelligence. The other thing that you, though, sort of caution in your article there is the fact that, you know, there's going to be immense pressure. And by the way, we see this in services as well, that a CFO, a CEO is going to be like, look, man, just automate the crap out of everything. Just use AI, just automate everything. Just boom.
Yep.
Right. We don't need people to do this stuff. Like, show me how you're going to go do that. Right. And your caution is, look, not everything should be automated. And if you try to automate it, there's way more downside than upside in the world of marketing. And so what do you see there, areas where it's like, please do not try to automate this?
I want to give you an example because I've been thinking through that. Like one is, let's say you're a premium B2B brand. Mm-hmm. Your reputation on trust, you're a strategic partner, you do long transformation for customers, but you also, you know, you have a paid media. And if you have AI running that, paid media is going to say, oh, I've noticed your messaging around urgency-driven copy or free this or act now or limited time offer really does well. So it's going to double down on that. Mm-hmm. And over time, that's going to shift who you are. Suddenly, you're going to go from a strategic partner to a transactional vendor. Mm-hmm. You're going to start attracting price-sensitive people. Your sales cycle may shorten, but your deals shrink. And so over time, you can optimize for performance, but it could hurt your positioning. I would think of TSIA. Let's say you were doing that. Mm-hmm. And let's say they find out, you know, short, you know, more snackable content works, you know, over your nuanced point of views that you put out. You get more clicks.
Yeah.
You become louder, but you're less distinctive, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's almost like AI could decide who you are. You become just average.
That's fascinating. You know, and that's the use case I've never thought about, but I think it's a great one. Again, if you're marketing and you feel like I strategically own the positioning and what this brand stands for, et cetera, I am the steward of that. And that's where I'm spending my cycles. then they are putting the wrapper around. Like you said, you may be automating some of these campaigns or blah, 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 and you're getting data and feedback about what's working, but there's got to be a discerning, smart human being that's looking at that strategically and saying, okay, this is, you know, this is where we take this, or this is good, this is bad, whatever. And not just, again, turning it to the engine, to the model, to optimize. I mean, it, you know, the paper clips, the doomsayers on AI say, look, if you tell AI, optimize, make a paper clip, it'll take everything in the world, every resource, everything, and do nothing but make paper clips, right? And that's a little bit what you're saying, but more nuanced and very more practical. That's exactly the scenario. If you tell AI, maximize clicks for me on a campaign, it could take you down a path where you're like, suddenly I'm this commoditized, low cost provider, and that's not what I want my brand to be.
Yeah, I think it's knowing what do you put out to AI. And I think it is the reporting, the nurture bills, SEO blogs, campaign execution. But where do you want someone exercising their judgment? You know, they have to define what good looks like. Like I said, with my own consultant, well, how did you decide that persona? It might have a different point of view, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who's deciding that? And that's why I just don't think you can outsource it all right now. Maybe some point, but not now.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And again, that's exactly what we've seen in researchers, things that you AI can do. There's things that you absolutely do not want it to do. You can outsource it because that's where your real intelligence is coming into play as a firm. I'm just intellectually curious here because, again, you talk to or see a lot more marketing organizations in action than I do. What is the most interesting or some of the coolest applications of AI you've seen to date? Because I know you do have passion around how the technology is being used.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, something that you work with a lot. So just give the audience a sense of what is actually kind of cool out there.
The coolest thing, we've been doing this for a year now. We just get better at it. We build out based on what we call synthetic personas. But now we've got them into like a whole buying group. So, you know, we've gone for, I think we talked about this, like from marketing qualified leads to buying groups.
Yeah.
So we basically take all this information, we do research, and we build out a synthetic persona. Like, this is who you would sell to, Thomas. And then we run all the messaging through it, everything we want to do through it, and get feedback. But with a buying group, what we've done now is create what I'll call a little focus group. So, you know, you'll have your economic buyer, you'll have your champion, you'll have your end user, you have your procurement person. We'll put them all together. My hypothesis is, you know, a lot of deals stall. What we're finding is with buying groups now, they just can't come to consensus. You know, we're all so big on personalization. I'm going to have this talk to, you know, the security person. This is going to talk to the DevOps person.
Yeah.
But when they have to make a decision together, they can't see the other person's point of view. And so deals just stall. Yeah. And so what we've been working on through AI is building these little buying groups or focus groups, running messaging by coming up with what I'm calling right now consensus content. Like, what is the content you're going to give them to come to an agreement so they can make a decision?
That is super cool. You know, we had a previous guest unlock this use case for me where if you have a concept, like maybe you're working on something, right? And you can bounce it into an AI model and you could say, well, what would Steve Jobs think of this? Right? So that's a persona, right? Or what would so-and-so think of this? And there's so much, you know, perspective and content out there from that person that it can give you a lens and you can go, oh, okay, like I didn't see it that way. What you're saying, you're making this very specific to companies. You're saying, look, if you're using AI to build these personas, the CFO persona, the CEO, whatever, you know, the security person for your particular customers, right? This is a security person in financial services. That's different than a security person maybe working for a consumer, you know, candy company, whatever. And so you can tune those personas and then bounce your messaging and positioning against them to get feedback before you go pitch or like
before
you said,
you spend a penny, before you spend a penny.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, and again, I love, and the other thing I keep seeing on this podcast is people know, these are use cases that are not future. They're not science fiction. It's not something you got to wait like three more years. This is something that companies are doing right now effectively with AI. You could do this in marketing right now today. And it doesn't take you 2 years to build the capability you're talking about. Like you said, you started working on this, you know, a little over a year ago, and you just keep making the model better and better. And that's another point I want to make is like a marketing department, you lean into these kind of tools, you're going to learn, you're going to get smarter and smarter about them. So, you know, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, you're so much better with those tools. The longer you sit there on your hands, waiting for somebody to bring you the perfect solution on persona management or whatever, you're losing ground. You're just losing ground.
No. And in fact, for your audience, since I know most of them aren't marketers, they're all doing presentations all the time.
Yeah.
The person you're presenting to, Thomas, I guarantee the stuff that they've written out on the internet, they've presented, you can build a persona whoever you're going to be presenting to and run your deck by them first. Tell me the three objections they're going to have on this. Yep. What should I be prepared for? Like, it doesn't need to be for marketing. It could be for anyone.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to give you a little inside baseball. So I started doing this a couple months ago that I do a lot of AI economic presentations to executive teams, right? And you've seen some of the content and the messaging, right? So we're talking about the business model, et cetera. And once I get the list of who's going to be in the room, I take my deck and I bounce it against AI and I say, and of course, these are senior people and they've got, you know, profiles that are kind of out there. And I'll say, tell me what, you know, this person, you know, the CEO, the CFO, this whatever is going to object to. What are their issues going to be with this content? It's so powerful. You know what I mean? And just get you prepared going in there for where they're probably, you know, not going to agree with you. And you got to be, you know, ready to have that discussion. So again, those are tools that are available right now as a professional, which Kathy, I guarantee you a majority of the professionals are not leveraging those capabilities, which are already there right now, unfortunately. Hey, I'm going to just two more questions. So one, this manifesto, what's the easiest way for people to find it? Because I think anybody in marketing needs to read this document. So how can they get to it?
It is on our website. If you just put in Inverta AI manifesto, just into Google search, it should turn up.
That's good. Because again, I think if you're a marketing person, it's not a long read, but it is definitely makes you think kind of read. And I think it's all the right thoughts people should be chipping on. And then
And I'm going to jump in for a second. Yeah. I'm just going to jump in. Yeah. The other thing we added, so we work with a lot of AI startups.
Yeah.
We also have a link in there now that if you don't want to read it, you can just talk to it and it'll answer questions for you.
I love it. That's amazing. That's another thing, by the way, content consumption, what we're seeing at TSIA, same thing. I mean, we have, you know, AI on top of all of our content and just people interacting with our content that way instead of like, I'm going to read a report for sure. That is the future of how people are going to consume content, a lot of content. But anyway, perfect. So, and then the final question I have for you is, you know, for these CMOs out there, what would be your words of encouragement or sort of next steps, guidance to them as they're trying to navigate these changing times? What do you tell CMOs?
That is a good question. I think you've got to just step back and just rethink how marketing is done and giving yourself the space to do that. And somehow you said making the time. Because if they don't, afraid someone else is going to make that decision for them. So somehow making the space. We've started small CMO groups even just to talk through some of that. So if anyone is a CMO listening to this, I'm happy to have just a discussion with them. So I think you need a sounding board. I think it feels very lonely at the top and you just feel overwhelmed. There's so much going on and how do you make the time for it? And I think find other CMOs to really help you with this and share ideas.
I'm glad you said that and not that your opening question is, so how well-funded is your 401k? I think that's the alternative. A lot of
when do I retire? Well, on a side note, Thomas, it's really interesting. I have a group of a couple different councils, and one of them is RevOps folks, the leaders. Mm-hmm. We had a call last Friday, and they brought up, what does my career look like? And I'm saying, well, I should be CMO. Like, I'm building all the AI workflows. I'm doing all this. I'm doing all this. And another one said, you know what? Yeah, I do all that. I don't have a passion for marketing. Like, I don't wake up thinking about positioning or what keywords we're going to do. And so I think for a CMO, it's almost like you've got to have this system side of you that really understands the data, the signals, the workflows.
Yeah.
But and that's strategic also, but you have to also have a passion around category creation, the creativity, the positioning, the narrative. I think you're going to have both in the future.
Yeah, for sure. That CMO has got to be somebody that does think very strategically about things like that, the categories, the positioning, et cetera. You got to have that muscle for sure. Well, hey, Kathy, I really appreciate you stopping in today. And I always end these with a question of the day. And my question for marketing leaders, do you clearly understand what marketing activities should be automated, they should be context, and which activities really should be core handled by a human? And can you clearly articulate that to your CEO or CFO? Cheers, everybody.